It's a tricky question. I don't mean to suggest there's an easy answer to your question, or if there is, I don't know it. But it seems to me that an awful lot of our whole system of kind of thought control, by that I mean education, you know, television, family life, all sorts of things, is sort of geared to supporting that kind of passivity. And institutions that break out of it, as the labor movement does, they're subject to a lot of, they're crushed insofar as one can crush them. I mean, the labor movement always broke out of this. Its picture was always different from the very beginning. You go back to the beginnings of the labor movement, it's, you know, farmers bitterly opposing the degrading and oppressive modes of industrial capitalist organization that were being forced on them. Actually, one of the most interesting books I know, if you haven't read it, I'd urge you to, is the first modern book on labor history that I know of by a guy named Norman Ware. Around 1924, it was just reprinted, so it's easy to get, but it's about the labor movement in eastern Massachusetts around 1850 and 60. It's mostly quotes from the labor press, which are just fascinating. It's mostly young women from the farms, what they called factory girls, like 18-year-old kid comes in from the farms and she's working in the mills in Lowell, or artisans in Boston, you know, and people like that. They had their own press. They had a very lively, extensive press, big, in fact. You know, it's like the scale of the commercial press in those days. And it's very interesting. I mean, it's very eloquent, it's very well written. They took for granted, as the labor movement always has, unless it's beaten out of people's heads, that those who work in the mills ought to own them. They regarded industrial capitalism as just another form of slavery. This is without, you know, no Marx, no socialism, you know, no foreign radicals, none of that stuff. It's all just working people from their own experience. Very literate, incidentally. Like they, one of the things they complained about was that their culture was being taken away from them. Like an artisan in Boston, if he had a little extra money, would hire a boy to read to him, and that meant read classics. You know, they said, look, the values that we fought for in the American Revolution, they're being taken away from us. We're being forced into another kind of tyranny, which we don't want, namely the tyranny of the hierarchic industrial system. And they also opposed the what they called the new spirit of the age. This is like 1850. The new spirit of the age is gain wealth, forgetting all but self. Okay, ever hear that one? A little fancier, but the same thing that is drilled into everyone's head every day, today. You know, you got to gain wealth, forgetting about everybody else. Well, they were trying to drill it into people's heads in 1850, and they were resisting it because it's degrading. You know, it's not the way human beings are. It takes a long time to drive normal human sentiments out of people's heads, and they keep popping up again. And in fact, I think, at least looks to me, the whole history of the labor movement is a struggle against the new spirit of the age. Well, that's one of the reasons it's constantly repressed. And other independent efforts are also constantly repressed, not always successfully. Like, the world's a lot better than it was 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, for that matter, because these struggles tend to, you know, they get repressed, but they leave a residue. They have successes, and then they're beaten back, and then they go on from those successes, and over time it sort of gets better.